Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Players Lounge podcast. We're well and truly into it and super duper excited today because we get to meet someone who, you know, iconic. I don't know if that refers to him. You can say stalwart, you can say dependable. Some even go so far as to say living legend of the game, the Mr. Nice Guy. But how about this? You know, the first international cricketer to play 100 matches in all three formats. Ross the Boss Taylor is joining us today. So it'd be great to get some insight from him and also keeping us company and making sure that I stay in line. Graham Swan is joining us on the Players Lounge podcast. Swanee, can I say how good it is that we're not chatting while you're in a hotel quarantine? You're back home.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not exactly hard keeping you in line, Manti. You're good enough.
Oh, I think it was supposed to be the other way around, right?
Oh, I see. Well, that's a tricky job. Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm back. I'm home. I've done my hotel isolation. I'm settling back into life in England. It's midsummer, so it's raining and it's cold. Yeah. And everything's good. Everything's normal. I'm looking forward to this. Ross is a great guy.
You know, what gets to me about him is just the sheer longevity of his career, because it's not as easy in, you know, this generation. It's 15 years and going for Ross Taylor. What is something that over his career, Swanee, that has really stood out for you?
Well, I'll tell you what it was. Exactly what you say, the longevity, the fact that you can keep performing at such a high level for such a long time. And a lot of players, when they get to sort of mid-30s, whatever, and their form dips, they never get it back. But I remember when Ross had a bit of dip in form and he came back almost twice the player just a few weeks later. So, brilliant player. Always a gentleman to play against. Never dived into the Scott Starris type chirping. So, just a good guy all round.
And they say that, you know, nice guys always finish last, which doesn't seem to be the case of this generation of New Zealand players. And Ross Taylor is almost like an epitome of that, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He just quietly went about his game. And when you're playing a real match winner, you want them almost to get in a fight, get out of their comfort zone, get angry almost. But he didn't let that bother him, didn't let it faze him, just played the game, knew his game. And honestly, I still lose sleep sometimes about that lap slog he played, because you couldn't bowl to him. Just whack it out the ground on those tiny little New Zealand grounds. Oh, not again.
Oh, I know. So many people would remember that. Well, let's go ahead and meet Ross the Boss Taylor, especially for all the India fans that are watching. They have such amazing memories of his IPL stints with the RCB, with Rajasthan Royals, but overall, the Mr. Nice Guy of cricket. So tell us a story, Swanee. This is great, right? You've got a bit of a tradition that when you play a 100 test match, you get 100 bottles of wine. How many do you have left? Because on your Instagram page, it says, wannabe wine connoisseur. So I want to know how many bottles you went through.
To be honest, I've had probably 2 bottles. And I've given away a couple to a sports psychologist. It was his 80th birthday, who's had a big influence on my career. And I didn't really know what... present for an 80th birthday, and it was a test match because all the bottles were named with how many runs and whether we won the test match. So there's a bit of significance around that. So 5 all up.
Just as we were building up, I was asking Swanee, you know, what is something that has stood out for him in your career? And he said, well, he's the nicest guy that you would meet. Isn't that right, Swanee? I mean, those are the sort of memories that you have in your interactions on the field.
It is, yeah. I mean, you play against a team like New Zealand and they're genuinely good blokes. You get Scott Starris at gullies spouting nonsense. But I was saying, Ross was the sort of player that there was no point chirping, there was no point having a go. Just stay phlegmatic, stay calm, and then play that lap slog and smack me out of the park. And I still have nightmares about that. You should be banned from playing that. You must have played hockey at school or something, because those wrists were ridiculous.
It's funny, you got me out a few times, so you can tell me that as well.
I don't remember those. I just remember Napier getting hit all the time. Come on!
I yorked myself and Headingley, and you bowled me through the gate. I was like, oh, how did I miss that? But it's funny what you remember.
Vicious
in
spin. Vicious dip.
Well, that's just the thing. I mean, the nice guy tag, I don't think it has, for some people think that it's not a non-competitive sort of connotation, but that's not true, right? Because this could possibly be the best generation of New Zealand players. And you've seen this rise, Ross, because you're the link between the Stephen Fleming era and the Kane Williamson era. And, you know, you've seen the World Cup finals and you've seen now a World Test Championship final. You've seen some of this generation rise to the top of the rankings. So you really had a great view and played a huge role in seeing the nice guys go all the way up.
Yeah, I think at the start of my career, if you'd have told us as a team, we would have achieved what we have. I don't think I would have believed you. I think when the likes of Stephen Fleming, Nathan Astle, Scott Storace, they all retired at the same time, and there was a big lapse and probably a little bit what's going through in Sri Lanka's cricket at the moment. You know, a lot of stalwart to the game for our country retired, and there's just that field period, and we were lucky that we had a generation of players all come through at once. I think not only good players, probably immigration's helped out as well. But
hey, there's nothing wrong with getting South Africans to play for your team. We had five or six in our side, so it's fine.
Exactly. But I guess they all had the hunger and desire to play as a team. You lose as a team, win as a team, and then the depth's just built from there. And I think it does help when you have world-class players and your side to learn off, and Kane and Brendan, Bolte, Tim, I think they've all stood up at different times. But no, I think the team's still got a little bit of way to go. I suppose you're never satisfied, but it's definitely, I wouldn't say it's a surprise, but it's definitely something that I never saw at the start of my career us being the side that we are today.
You know, Swanee, you speak about transitions, and Ross, you've been such a senior member of this team. You go from playing in the final of the 2015 World Cup under Brendan McCullum and playing in the final of the 2019 World Cup under Kane Williamson. You know, that's a transition of leaders. Now, what about the ethos of that team still remained the same? Because you had a huge role to play as a senior player.
Yeah, I think I think a lot's made. We obviously have the All Blacks here, and we've had some great leaders in the All Blacks. But they talk about their lieutenants and the senior players, and how they probably have even more. The captain and coach face the media, face the public, but it's the senior players in the background that have a big influence that you probably don't see. The more players we have in that group, the better the team's got. I think, when you first start out, there might be two or three players, where I think in this current crop of guys, there's probably five or six. And it's not necessarily just the things that they do behind. It's all the stuff that takes the pressure off the captain, the coach, that you probably don't see, that just makes their job just that little bit easier.
You just actually mentioned the World Cups, Mountie. I want to put an apology out to Ross and all the New Zealand team, because believe it or not, the first day they landed here in England for the World Test Championship, Sky Sports put a replay of England beating New Zealand on TV.
It was a coincidence.
I'm sure it was a coincidence. I'm hoping it was, because it's horrific otherwise. And I apologise on behalf of my nation. We beat you on boundary countback, for goodness sake. We lost twice, basically.
If it was deliberate, then that's brilliant too, I think. whoever thought of that are obviously... I've got a sense of humour, but I think, as I read somewhere, that we know the result, so we don't need to watch it.
Ah, that's brilliant that you said. That's like, okay, Swanee, let's not talk about this again. Let's not ask him about this again. But I mean, it must be hard, Ross, because you must be asked this question everywhere you go. Oh, how epic was that final? But they weren't involved with the kind of emotions that I was there, I was on the ground, and we saw all of your faces. I mean, you're men of steel to go through something like that.
Yeah, I think everyone dealt with it in their different ways. Probably took me a week, I reckon, to get over. Just the emotions of what happened. I was backing up the throw that Guptill threw in from the boundary, and I still have Colin de Gronholm on about it to this day that he should have backed up in a triangle. We were taught that as kids, you don't back up right behind for the deflection, but maybe not off the bat. But in the flip side of that, you know, I had my family over there, and we went. I thought we needed to get out of England because we had a flight a few days later. So we went to Paris. But there's English people over there as well, so we couldn't get away from it. Under the Eiffel Tower, Indian fans coming up and saying commiserations. So wherever you were, especially the last, you know, the week directly after it, there was a lot of emotion, and people were just, you know, trying to be nice. But if anything, probably just keep bringing up some bad, if not good, memories.
Well, the good thing about it, if there is one from your point of view, is at least a Kiwi got man of the match in Stokesy. I mean, that was good.
No, well, the thing is, I played with Stokesy at Durham in 2010, and I asked our CEO at the time, I think we should get this guy. He was on the cusp of English Lions, but he's definitely made the right decision, because I don't think if he played for New Zealand, he wouldn't have got those big contracts at IPL if he was playing in the New Zealand cricket team.
Ooh, fair enough. But hey, listen, you brought up IPL, Ross. Isn't the RCB fans who called you Ross the Boss, or is that nickname come from somewhere else? Because they just love you, that knock against KKR. People still speak about it.
Yeah, it was something that I'll never forget. And when you go to a foreign country and to be embraced like the people of Bangalore and Chinnaswamy did, you know, to go out in front of 45,000 people and they're yelling their names. This was the days before Coley was the superstar that he was. He was just a young up-and-coming player. And I can remember Kumble and Dravid saying, these guys love you. And obviously for that to come from them, who were obviously great to the game all over the world, but, you know, they're the favourite sons of Bangalore and Karnataka. And for me to have got their reception, yeah, something I'll never forget. And it's probably the reception that AB gets every time he goes out to bat. There now.
Did you remember the kind of reception you got when you were wearing a Rajasthan Royal kit and you played in Bangalore? Because I think there's still conflicted emotions when you step out in the IPL.
Yeah, I was lucky or unlucky, because the day we played there, it rained. So I still haven't played at Chinnaswamy as a foreign playing for Pune or Delhi. But no, it's not even IPL. I think those were the days when Champions League were around and you get to play against other nations, teams who won the competition. So no, I definitely have fond memories, and fortunate enough to play for four teams, but RCB in the 3 years that I had there will definitely have to be a highlight for me.
So you play for four teams. Who is the best out of the four? Come on, upset half of India now, right now. Tell us.
No, RCB. Well, I had three years there. I had great fun at Delhi also, but no, RCB, hands down. Saying that, Rajasthan was good fun. Yeah. Now I'm starting to get I'm starting to get splinters.
I was just gonna say, Ross, if you don't say Rajasthan, it's not the fans that will be upset. It'll be Graham Swan sitting there, biggest Rajasthan Royal fan.
I've not got my Rajasthan jersey on, actually. I don't know where it is.
Where is it? You've let us down. I'm pretty sure my husband's is like somewhere like right here, you know. So Swanee, I'll beat you on that.
I haven't unpacked yet. I've just got back. My kit is still in the corner. It's going to be there for a month.
Yeah, God, I can imagine. But let's go back to the beginning a little bit, because all of us knew, at least, you know, I'm talking from the Indian perspective here, Ross, that all of us were very aware of the fact that you were just, you know, the second cricketer of Samoan heritage to play international cricket for New Zealand. I read a little bit about your childhood, and there was a phase that you and Jesse Ryder, who's half Maori, if I'm not wrong, where you kind of grew up together and you were playing cricket, and then it was difficult to get cricket equipment, but your family rallied around you. So just tell me a little bit about those days.
Yeah. I guess my mother's Samoan, my dad was Kiwi. And Samoans traditionally go for the rugby league group, yeah. I guess slightly bigger in build. But I was a bit of a weed when I was at school. So mum told me, no, you're not allowed to play rugby. So I played hockey and, hockey and cricket. I guess that's where the risk comes in, and everything just I didn't really have an offside game at the start of my career. But yeah, so growing up, mum and dad didn't have a lot. So no, I was fortunate enough to grandparents brought my first cricket bat. And I've been sponsored by Gunnar Moore ever since. Since 13, I got my first sponsorship and been with them ever since. And just fortunate enough, still like a kid in a candy store, got a couple of brand new bats that just arrived in the hotel room, which I look forward to using. But yeah, that was a few moons ago now. And no, I'm very, very lucky to be where I am. So yeah, I think, my family has sacrificed a lot, but my grandparents and getting those bats in those early days is, hopefully I've done them proud over the years.
It's amazing that, with the Samoan and Kiwi background, you're not playing rugby. I bet that's unheard of in New Zealand.
Yeah, 100%. My family, we've got cousins who played in the Warriors, played in the Samoan team and in the All Blacks. So, yeah, for me to go a different route, probably, nothing against Samoan side, but it was my dad's, the Kiwi side, that got me into cricket. But I guess there's still the Samoan flair and things that comes out every now and then.
I believe it was in boarding school where people started to notice a swagger about you when you were about 17, 18. Is that right? What was the swagger?
I did read my coach at the time said that in an interview before, I think, my 100th test. I did read it. I got sent it and I was like, jeepers, I didn't see it myself if that was the case. I suppose I was confident enough in myself that I felt like this is the avenue I wanted to take and play cricket. A swagger. If my grandmother saw that, she would have bit it out of me, I'm sure. I don't know. I've got a bit of a hunchback as it is, so maybe that's the swagger with my humpback of Notre Dame.
This always makes me laugh how in India, like, swagger is seen as a really positive thing. In New Zealand or England, if you say you've got a swagger, it means you're a show pony. It means you're giving it the heart. It's the worst thing.
Yeah, no, there's a few things that could offend me. Swagger. So at 17, I can understand it. Hopefully not now.
So some of the other things that I was reading, I mean, we'd love to hear about your relationship with someone like Martin Crowe, because I know you had great chats with him. He was very insightful information. And I'm sure there were emotional moments when, you went past his record. But again, this is hearsay. I read somewhere that the first time he saw you, he's like dismissed you as a dirty slogger. Is that right? What's the story now?
Yeah, he's got a slightly different take on it. But my take on it is the truth. But yeah, so my manager Leanne knew Martin from her days as a sponsor of New Zealand cricket. So she said, "Oh, I'm looking after this young kid, Ross Taylor. Can you go and have a look?" It was a green seamer in Auckland. So as I probably still do now, you play a little bit more attacking when the ball's got it. It's going to be a ball with your name on it. So I came out. I think I got 40 off 30 balls with some very agriculture shots, probably at best. Kyle Mills was at his prime then. And yes, I saw him walking around the boundary. So I was sort of looking over to see if he's watching. And sent a message to Leanne the next day. She didn't, my manager, and she said, "No, I haven't heard anything from him." She was lying. She'd got a message, and it was that she didn't want to tell me till after the game that this guy's nothing but a dirty slogger. But the relationship started from there. And first love of cricket, second love of wine. He was a great mentor to me. I think there's a lot of pressures that come with being a professional cricketer, and, a batting coach has the whole team to look after. They can't, specifically look after one player. So I think you need to have players, people outside the team to bounce ideas off. And he was fantastic for me. And at the same time, he wasn't just, a positive coach. He would tell some home truths every now and then. And I respected him for that, because, to get better, sometimes you got to get told the harsh truths. And, that probably wouldn't resonate with a lot of people, but it resonated because I knew it was coming from a good place. And
what's the best advice you got from him?
technically, probably, you know, getting on the balls of your feet, watch the ball, you know, as closely or as far away as possible. But, you know, cricket's a mental game, I think. Trying to get that in the right space, you know, regardless of what type of form you're in, if you're not in a good headspace, you're not going to score runs. Or if you do, it's very, you're going to be lucky to get them. So just, you know, controlling the mind. And, you know, if you control the mind, then all going well, you give yourself the best chance of success.
Wow, controlling the mind. What about controlling the ball when it's coming at you spinning? I mean, it's almost like you grew up on subcontinental tracks, the way you handle spin sometimes. Swanee, you'd have great insight into this. How did that come about, Ross? You know, the way that you, was it your footwork? Was it instinct at the start?
I think a little bit of instinct, but, you know, I think IPL helped a lot. In New Zealand, it would be interesting your take on it, Swanee, but when we went to the academy, you'd always hit the off spinner through the leg side. And I can remember talking to Rahul Dravid, you know, one of the greatest 2 hours of on a flight back, flight to IPL 2009. And he was like, no. You know, you still got to hit the ball through the offside and try and beat cover on both his right and left-hand side. And as a Kiwi kid growing up, that never would have come into our mind. And you know, opening up both sides of the ground and not just limiting yourself from a defence and a scoring opposition. I still think India and Bangladesh and Sri Lanka are the hardest places to play cricket, but you know, definitely getting those different insights has been a big help to me in playing spin, because you know, spin's not quite the same. Well, you don't have to be on top of your game in New Zealand, especially on those first few days, where spinners actually quite often are just a holding role for the seamers to come on and do their thing.
Well, it's one of those things that it's like a secret that spinners don't want batsmen to clock. A good player in spin will play through the offside against the spin to an offie, because they'll be getting to the pitch of the ball. And if you're at the pitch of the ball and you can push, you can defend or drive, you're not letting the wicket play its part. As soon as people try and play with the spin all the time, it takes one ball to do something a bit different and you get them into trouble. So please don't tell all batsmen that, because spinners have it hard enough anyway.
No, but you know, as you said, you get some gold nuggets every now and then. And like, I don't even think that's a gold nugget. I feel like that should just be the norm, I think. Like, every player should be told to try and hit both sides of the wicket, where, you know, as I said, at our academy in New Zealand, it was all playing with a spin and things like that, where, as Swanee said, getting to the pitch of the ball, if you do that, you know, your hands and the players are so good these days, it becomes irrelevant, really.
Well, it intrigues me to hear you say that, because of where you bat in ODI cricket, especially if you're playing subcontinental teams. Often than not, you might be in a situation where you come in what the spinners come on to play. Now, you have really, Ross, bossed this number 4 slot, and it's a tough one because it requires a mix of what? Technique, temperament. What are the things, you know, the qualities that going into being a good number 4 limited overs cricketer?
it's a funny one. Maybe once I retire from cricket, I'd probably say bat up the order. That would be the only thing I'd regret, batting at 4 in my career or in 2020. But no, 4 I've enjoyed, because I think the game's evolved a lot since I started. 15 over power plays, 2 catches, to now where no catches, 10 overs, 2 brand new balls. I think the biggest thing about batting 4 in ODI cricket is you just got to sum up the situation as quickly as possible. And you could be 2 for 10 chasing 320, or you're trying to set a total. But with the rules, I think more often than not, it's easier said than done. If you can keep your wickets in hand, all the grounds around the world, you know, you can catch up. But you know, you got to do that hard work. Sometimes it's 5 overs, sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 15, depending on the day. But summing up the situation as quick as possible, whether you're setting a total or trying to chase one down. Chasing it down obviously becomes a lot easier. The score's dictated, where I suppose setting a total and backing you that you're the way you've summed it up is good. A bit like the semi-final against India, I think, you know, we were in trouble, and I think a lot of the commentators were, what I got told afterwards, were telling us that we weren't scoring quickly enough, but we felt like, you know, if we can get a total of 240, 250, that we gave ourselves a chance, where quite often in that situation, you try and get the 270, 280, end up only getting 220, and you're never going to win from there.
Well, it is a coveted spot to play, and does a lot of it rely on partnerships? Because I know that you and Kane enjoy a very, very prolific partnership. Funny enough, not so great running between the wickets. What's going on there?
I don't know, for such two extraordinary players. First of all, I've run him out a couple of times, but he's run me out a lot more than I've run him out, I reckon. And I get the blame, but I guess when you're the captain and you bat as well as he did, I've just got to cop it on the chin and go with it. But depending on what mood you're in, depending on how you answer the question. If you're in a good mood, you answer at PC and you're nice. If not, you just say, well, if you bat with someone that long, you're going to get run out every now and then. But no, there was a stat came up during a game, and Martin Crowe and Andrew Jones have got run out more than Kane Williamson and I, and they don't get any grief about their running between the wickets.
Well, there you go. I've got something that you'll enjoy, actually. You know, in a change room before a game, you have the whiteboard, and it's got like bullet points about each player, what you're looking to attack early on. So mostly it's top of off, take it away. We always put run out next to you and next to Kane Williamson. It was one of Jimmy Anderson's favourite things. Put run out, down.
Well, it's funny when Jimmy, you know, if there's nothing happening and you block one in there and you say, oh, you don't sledge, but Jimmy would be coming out there and goes, oh, get a run out, boys. Get a run out straight away. Have a bit of a smile and get on. So every time. So I'm sure that will happen over the next couple of weeks.
Invariably, when you're batting and forging those kind of partnerships that you and Kane Williamson are, you do have a lot of chats in between overs. What do you guys talk about? Is it just purely cricket, or how do you take the pressure off? You know, let's say a run chase situation or setting a total situation.
Yeah, I think everyone's slightly different in the way they go about it. Kane, when he's batting well, he doesn't say a lot at the start of his career, where now he talks a lot more, you know, about the game. Where, yeah, I enjoyed batting with Kane and Tom Latham. They're totally different. But I think the best thing about batting with somebody is that they actually care. They're trying to calm you down. You're talking about different things. And especially at the start of your innings, I think, you know, when you're at your nervous, your most vulnerable, I suppose. You know, having someone at the other end who has a bit of empathy and is sort of just talking you through that, you know, just settles you down and as once again, just gives you a better chance of success and telling you what the bowlers are doing.
It's good to hear that, actually. I used to play with a guy, you'll have heard of him, Darren Bicknell at Notts. He was our opening batsman, left-hander, an older bloke, but his glass was always half empty. And I'd go into bat at like 6 or 7, and he'd often have 100. He's a brilliant player. Yeah. You go, mate, you're batting brilliantly. What's it doing? He'd go, oh, it's doing everything, mate. It's seaming, it's swinging, it's up and down. Oh, well played, mate.
I mean, I don't know. You've been working with him, but I'll never forget my debut against... I was playing against West Indies, and Lou Vinson just got 100, got out. I still haven't faced a ball in international cricket, and Scott Storace comes out to bat. And I go up to Scotty, nervous as anything. Scott walks out and he goes, I don't glove punch. That's all he said. did not say anything else. I don't glove punch. Went back. We just go. So, you know, there's different ways of going about things. And Scotty had his way about dealing with things too.
That is so old school Kiwi. That is so old. That's Flem's era, that.
Yeah. Swanee, you've worked so much with Scotty in the commentary room as well. I'm pretty sure you can use this against him sometime.
Well, no, I'm actually with him. And the whole thing it came from, I remember, so Stephen Fleming was my captain at Nottinghamshire, 2005. And the first thing he said in the team meeting, guys, the one thing we're going to do, we are not glove punching at all. This is not happening here. And he said it was because they played England. And England are massive glove punchers, always have been. It's embarrassing. The West Indies are cool when they do it. Englishmen are not when they do it. And he said they played a test match in New Zealand, Triscothic and Strauss opening. And the first ball of the test, Trez left it outside off stump, and Strauss, he walked all the way down and glove punched him. What was that for? Well left. And so, yeah, at Notts, it was banned completely in our changing room. Yeah, brilliant.
Nah. Yeah, well, that went straight to us. We've come back into, you know, Storace and Flem have gone. We talked about it. It's
cuddles and hugs and everything these days. Oh, it's embarrassing.
But actually, you know, Ross, you brought it up, so I'm not going to point it out, but you just brought up the fact that you have been the link from the Stephen Fleming generation to this generation. So how has it changed from being the kid in the dressing room to now being one of the senior members of the dressing room? Do you feel like you're surrounded by kids? Are there some things you just can't understand?
Yeah.
Because you're a father. I mean, you've got kids at home. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a generation that are coming through now that the players are coming up and saying that you're my favourite player. That's when I think, you know, you're starting to get old. You've been taken back by, we were playing in India, maybe 2017, 2018, we're playing Shreyas Iyer in a warm-up game. And I walked past him and he was been looking at me and I thought, jeepers, what's going on here? And then he looked over and he walked aside and he goes, oh, Ross, just wanted to say you've been my favourite player since RCB days. And I was a little bit taken back because he was playing really well and obviously he'd heard of him and things. But, you know, to have a kid he's going to be a superstar in his own right. But for someone to come up and say that was very humbling and I didn't really know how to take it. But no, I guess from then on in, I've taken a big interest in his career to date. But yeah, that's where we are in the New Zealand team. A few of these young 21-year-olds were only about 4 or 5 when I made my debut. So I'll be playing with some of the father. When you start playing with the kids that you're, I think Brendan McCullum's son's not too far away. Then that's when I think it's time to pull up stumps and move on.
Yeah, Tom and Sam Curran playing for England. Kevin Curran, their dad, was my first captain in first-class cricket. Sam wasn't even born, and Tom was 3. I'd go and throw little balls to him on the outfield.
Just be a good team, man.
It's ridiculous.
And now
they're
rock stars.
I know.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's nice to see, you know, some of those. And hopefully, as you said before, I think there's quite a few fathers in the team now who have had boys and girls, and hopefully in the next little while that they can play for New Zealand, whether it's in the men or the women's team, and continue their family's legacy on as well.
Well, you'll still be playing in 16 years' time. You'll have had 4 more World Cup finals, trying to desperately win one. You'll still be there, sure of it.
I'll be commentating one. Come on.
Do your kids have an inclination towards cricket? Because obviously they're there for your games and they're there for the special moments. Are they interested in the game?
But my daughter is. Jonty sort of, I think he's starting to get into it. When we go on tours, there was a stage where I used to come back and would tell them, Daddy, come and tell us a story. And you'd have to sort of fabricate a story up a little bit. And I'm like, tell her, what type of story do you want? They said, cricket story. What type of cricket story? An Indian cricket story. And I was like, I was struggling to come up with anything. Yeah. And I said, half of it's true, half of it's a little bit made up. My daughter was 10 months and we were in the, which is true. And Dhoni and Kohli were there. And they were just asking my wife how it was to travel with a kid. And this was all new to us, so we didn't really know. So I was explaining this and they were sort of playing with Mackenzie. But I had to add my son, Jonty, who wasn't there at the time. And I said, what was the men's name again? I said, Dhoni. And they started laughing. They were like, Daddy, there's no one's name called Dhoni. and then Virat Kohli. Oh, Daddy, you're so funny. You're making up. Where'd you make these names up from? They have no idea that these were the two most famous cricketers in the world. And they thought that Daddy had just made their names up. But it was just, I thought it was quite cool and quite an innocent, cute moment that, two of the biggest rock stars who of world cricket at the time and today, that my kids thought that I was making it up.
Yeah, kids can be brutal though as well. I remember trying to get my little boy into cricket when he was only 4 or 5 and come on, should we go and bowl in the garden? Should we go, oh, I don't really want him, Dad. And then walked in one day and he was on YouTube watching England cricket. And he said, Daddy, I want to go in the garden and do some bowling. I went, yes, like Daddy. He went, no, like Uncle Jimmy. It's absolutely brutal.
Yeah, no, there's probably a couple of stories I could tell of that, but then I don't know if it would be able to be aired. Yeah. it would be wouldn't be right.
Oh, but it's amazing. Are you able to, you know, both of you, Swanee, we've been speaking about the same thing over the last couple of months now, but how do you play the, you know, the father role when you've been playing cricket for as long as you do? Ross is 15 years professionally, internationally rather, and still going. How do you balance that? Are there times where, you know, it really does get tough?
Yeah, I think so. I think the older the kids get, the tougher it is. Mm-hmm. They understand it more. But in saying that, though, we've had it a lot easier than the players of the 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, at least we can Skype. We can see them grow, have photos if they've get an award at school or got a game or get a goal or things like these little things. You get videos. So it's not quite the same because you're not there, but you do still feel a little part of it. But no, I think, you know, you're doing a job to try and help them out in the future and set yourself up. But at the same time, it's a pretty cool job to be representing your country and playing around the world and doing them proud. And you're a long time retired, and I'm sure once things do settle down that you'll spend a lot more time with them. But no, I think you touched on it before. I think the 100 tests and being able to go out there with my two kids. Adelaide didn't play ball. She was a bit frightened by the cameras. But no, that's something that I'll definitely never forget. And something I hope that they'll never forget, being able to walk out with Dad and sing the national anthem in front of thousands of people.
I'll tell you one thing you can look forward to, that I've just had this. In fact, it was yesterday. My little boy is only 10 now, so a delicate age for, you know, cricket development and stuff. He's decided he's not a leg spinner or a fast bowler anymore. He's now a wicket keeper as well. But being able to just go to the local cricket club as soon as school finished and have half an hour just throwing little catches and doing those things as a cricketer when you're playing for England and you're away all the time, you just, like Ross said, you get a little video. And it makes you homesick. You go, I wish I could have been there just watching that game with the other dads having a pint. But you're actually getting to do these little things. He still doesn't listen to me. I told him to wear long sleeves and do the old gloves and throw to the fielders and shirt, but he's not listening to me.
No, that's still a couple of years away there. Don't worry, it'll come.
Yeah. But Ross, do they know who you are? You know what I mean? Like Ross Taylor, the international cricketer, do they have any idea the impact that you've had on this game? Are they too young for that?
I think they know because of other kids. There's not a lot of memorabilia at home or anything. So I think I reckon around that six or seven other kids start mentioning things to them that then they're like, well, it's not just Dad, it's you know, Dad's famous.
Yeah, but what they'll do, those kids will say whatever their dad said to them. Oh, your mate is Ross Taylor, sir. Ross Taylor got naught and ran up Kane Williamson yesterday. You tell him.
And that's happened too. That's not even kids. That's just people on the street to do that. So, I guess it'll be interesting, you know, what take it is. It'll be interesting what Swanee is once you do retire. Does it die down? Does it, you know, or is it still the same? I guess it's depending on what you do after cricket.
Yeah, it's weird for me because a lot of my work's in India, so I'm not on TV in England as much. My little girl, who's five, who wasn't around when I was playing cricket, has no idea what Daddy does. No idea whatsoever. She's not put two and two together. She's living in happy La La Land. It's brilliant.
It's not a bad place to be,
too. We're going to send her these clips.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ross, it's inevitable that you're going to be asked about the R word, right? How do you fend it off? Is it something that you've even thought about? It doesn't have to be right now, but a couple of years ago, because you went through a career-changing eye surgery as well. There was a period where you're like, but things were really difficult. You had to go through those sort of moments in your career as well.
Yeah, I think I've always really enjoyed and loved playing cricket. Probably since the World Cup, people wondering, is that the best time to retire? Things like that. I think it's very cliche-ish, but I think, age is just a number. I think retirement is definitely in the back of your mind as you just get older. I think what I've lived by is that you're a long time retired, and as long as you still love the game and still want to improve and contribute in different ways, both on and off the field, and you're still good enough, then continue to play. Not necessarily just international cricket, it's just playing, whether it's county cricket, playing in 2020 leagues, or playing domestic cricket at home. I still love playing the game. But as you said, it's definitely heading towards the latter part of my career, and hopefully whatever happens over the next 12, 18, 24 months, you just enjoy the game of cricket for what it is, and then join Swanee and Scotty, and I've always wanted to average 50 in Test cricket, and I can do that then.
Correct. And the best thing is, carry on playing as long as you can, definitely, but the second you retire, warm-ups are gone. That is the last warm-up you've ever done.
Oh, jeepers. That's a very tempting thought.
I hated one. That first hour before the day's play on day three, when you fielded 100 overs and it's cold and it's wet. Right, boys, come on. Let's run around some cones. Just like, oh my God. Why?
One of the best things I've done in my career once Fleming retired was go to first slip. That makes cricket a lot easier. So I better keep actually taking them.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, just from an outsider point of view and those that throw stats at you. So personally, you have great achievements as an international cricketer, and you've seen the rise, and you're currently still very important member of this team. So what are your personal ambitions that are left? Because I know we have a World Test Championship final that is coming up right now. So that obviously has to be on your radar.
Yeah, I think you talked before about the disappointment of the 2019 World Cup. I never thought we would even get another chance of playing in another World Cup final, let alone it be a test match and the first time that it's come about. So, life throws at you different challenges and things like that. If we can, obviously to win a World Cup, third time lucky, as they say, hopefully that's correct. I think just trying to contribute to as many team wins, score a few more runs and hopefully go out on a high and enjoy my cricket. I think, a lot of the time the pressures you put on yourself can be a good motivation, but can sometimes hinder your performance as well. So, if you can enjoy yourself as much as possible, and hopefully the right result can come about.
Well, it's huge, Swanee, isn't it? The World Test Championship final. I mean, everyone's going to be watching. It's, India, New Zealand, incredible bunch of individual battles as well, Ross. I mean, if you weren't part of it, what would be the individual battles that you're really, really keen to see?
The two skippers going at it, Williamson and Kohli. I mean, two of the Fab Four playing in a final. Kane obviously had a taste of the loss of, as captain, and Coley has, I think, yet to win an ICC event. So, you know, whoever, you know, one of them's going to be lifting it. Oh, I mean, there's a draw. There's no countbacks or boundary counts or things in this. I think it's just a draw. Sorry, that was my only little dig.
The rules are rules, Ross. So, they're written down before the tournament.
Yeah, yeah. And no, and I didn't know about them either. No, I think, you know, I think maybe I'm just trying to deflect away as a batter, but I think the battle of the fast bowlers is going to be fascinating. I think our fast bowlers probably have a little bit more experience over here, but you know, the way that the Indian fast bowlers and how they bowled, and a depleted bowling lineup at that, and still having success in Australia, I think you can't underestimate that. But the Duke ball is going to play its part. We're here at the Rose Bowl at the moment and watching a first class game. It just seems to, Swanee, he'd probably add a little bit more to this, but the ball, we make a lot of about the ball and the Duke, and it'll be interesting what the 2021 ball is like. But it looked like it didn't swing as much up front, but once Alaka was off, it started to swing a little bit. So those little things that you, I guess we have a little bit of an advantage having two test matches before that game. That hopefully we can get a little bit more of an insight than just bowling in the nets and having a practice game amongst ourselves.
It's actually amazing when you mention the ball there, because you've played so much, you know this, the experience of every English Duke's ball is handmade, and they've had the little kite mark or whatever, but they've got a stamp on the year it was made. Yeah. And I always remember, I think 2011, the ball swung round corners. They were incredible. The bowlers loved them. 2012 didn't. And so we sent one of the England coaches to drive to the Duke's factory to go into the garage, into the storeroom, and find another batch of 2011 balls to then bring to the next test matches. And it, sure enough, these balls came out and they swung around corners. So they don't always move, but when they do, when they're dark and small and well-balanced, my word, they swing around corners.
100%. It's funny, and that's what I mean by the two test matches. It'd be interesting to see if we can get some of that intel. But a similar story, but we were a bit late on it, was 2008. We were wondering, what's going on here? After about two overs, the England team always would throw the ball back to the umpire, and they were just trying to change the ball because the batch of balls in the umpire's shed was a 2007, and that was swinging around corners, where the 2008 didn't do anything. So it wasn't until the last test that we had actually worked it out, but the series had gone by then. But, you know, those little things.
Home experience. Yeah.
Home advantage. And I think that's, I guess that's the I guess it's unique, but also brilliant that it's a final with two foreign teams and foreign conditions and a different ball. I think that just adds a different dimension to it.
I think that's what I like about it. In fact, it's so interesting that let's make this our Dare to Declare segment sponsored by Betway, because A, it is neutral. You know, you've wanted to keep the venue as neutral as possible. The intriguing thing about this format as a fan that I just love is that it is about the sessions, and you plan each and every session. So there's so many mini battles. It's not just individual, not just conditions. It is the individual performances as well. And personally, that's where you feel like the battle really could be won or lost. Is that how you would also view it, Ross? Because it's a combination of things that are going to play into this World Test Championship final.
Yeah, I think it's like anything. I think the brilliance about Test cricket is the ebbs and flows over a long period of time. But as we've seen, teams can win and lose a Test match on one session. So, I mean, conditions will play its part. I guess it's nice to be here and they just bowl to have a little bit of a look and be familiar. It's a bit strange. I can't say I've ever stayed at a cricket ground before to wake up and have a look. There's actually a first class game being played, but it's raining, so we won't be able to watch it. But no, I think all those little battles, even the battle of the wicketkeepers, the spinners as well. Do we play a spinner? Do we go out with four fast bowlers and an all rounder? All the little things that just add to what is going to be obviously a world first in a World Cup final for Test match cricket, but just all the unknowns and I guess playing on foreign conditions, as we keep saying, is to the team that learns the quickest and adapts quickly. May the best team win.
It's a real shame he's not at Lords, but obviously with the pandemic and everything. But I tell you what, I think this is so evenly matched, this test final, because I think it will come down to the bowlers, whoever gets mastery of that Duke's ball, because there's a fine line between bowling with a swinging ball and being on the money. And we always used to do well against Australia when it swung, because their bowlers, as brilliant as they are with Kookaburras, like Mitchell Starc and Mitchell Johnson, when it was swinging, they just couldn't control it, couldn't start it off in the right place. The Kiwi seamers definitely can. I mean, they're absolutely legends with it. They're as good as anyone in the world. India seamers, I think it comes down to how well they adapt to how much it swings, because they're not used to ball swinging as much as this will. So I think it's going to be a brilliant test final. I cannot wait for it. I'm so glad England aren't in it as well, because New Zealand deserve another crack and England would have won on count.
Thanks, Swanee. No, I think adding to, I think I'm with you. It would have been cool for it to be at Lords. I think the history and tradition of Lords, another 5 days, another 6 days of Lords lunches, exactly. would have been good as well. But, I can't really remember. Rose Bowl's not too bad, is it, Niels? Maybe still not.
Can't remember. Never remember eating at the Rose Bowl. I was always out for very low scores and sulking and changing.
Well, since we're on the topic, let's get some quick fire predictions out there. Ross, anything that, the first thing rather that comes to mind for you regarding the World Test Championship final, which is the Indian player that has impressed you the most in the last 3 years that will have a role to play?
It's a tough one. I think Bumrah. Has been outstanding in all formats of the game. The Duke ball, I think he'll will enjoy bowling here. And I think, if I remember rightly, he bowled really well against South Africa in the World Cup here at the Rose Bowl. So, we'll have to be on our, as batters will, be a key to their whole bowling lineup, but as Bumrah especially.
How many runs will Ross Taylor score in the World Test Championship final? Come on. Ross the boss.
I'm selling
myself. This is a really unfair question.
That's fair.
Really
enough.
Unfair, because no sportsman is going to want to jinx themselves. So I will answer this for you. He's going to get a solid 40, just slogging in the first innings off 30 balls. And then people back home will be saying he'll never make it, and he'll get a brilliant 100 in the second innings.
As long as we win, I'll go with that.
Space or spin? Who will have a bigger role to play? We don't know yet, but play pace or spin in the World Test Championship final?
I think pace is definitely going to be given with the ball. But if the wicket does flatten out, then the spinners will play a part. Obviously, India have got two.
It's not exactly 30 degrees outside at the moment, I'll tell you that. It's not going to be very dry.
It's not even 15 degrees here. 14 on the scoreboard. I think, it's a month's time. It'll be interesting, Seam's got to play a big part, but how much role will the spinner play in it? Well, I think, the toss and the what teams select will give an insight into how the captains are thinking.
The star for New Zealand in that World Test Championship final?
I'm
going to say Bolt. Trent Bolt.
Bolt? Yeah, well, the thing is, I think that whole, until you get down to Rashid Pant, I think they're all right-handers, so I think Saudi and Kyle Jameson will look forward to doing that. But I think it's his first test overseas. He hasn't played a test overseas, Kyle Jameson. So I'll say him. I mean, he's had a great start to his career with both bat and ball, but I'm sure his height, if the wickets do flatten out, hopefully he can put the Indian batters under some pressure with his pace and bounce.
Okay, and this is just really to mess with everyone, but if you could switch and bring two Indian players on board into that New Zealand team for the World Test Championship final, who would they be?
Sachin Tendulkar and Dravid.
I second that.
Well played, Dravid.
Just so I don't have to bowl out.
Sehwag. I mean, any.
You know, one of the things I do when I look back at the Indian team when I played against them, and at the time they were just India, and yeah, you know they're all good players and great players. When I look back at my first test, it was Sehwag, Gambhir, Dravid, Tendulkar, VVS, Laxman, Dhoni. I mean, that's ridiculous. What a six. That is, I mean, how I got wickets against them, I'll never know. If I hadn't, I wouldn't be at all embarrassed. They're brilliant.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the teams are very evenly matched, but I think you could, you know, I think any of those players and then the inside you could pull over and would make a great contribution to our side.
Oh, we're really looking forward to that, World Test Championship final. But just on you, Ross, this is 15 years and still going. You've had such incredible moments. And of course, you know, they're the hundreds in every format and the 100th test match and all these sort of moments in your career. But what has been your proudest? Is it the 100th test match? Is it something else?
I think test wins away are extra special, I think. Obviously, the World Cup final, all jokes aside, but I mean, it was great to be part of probably the best World Cup final in any format, and maybe the greatest one-day game of all time as well. Just, I think something like that, even though I don't want to watch it and things like that, but, you know, I'm sure in time I'll watch it. But I think overseas test wins and... hopefully there's a few more proud moments over the coming months or weeks that can add to that list and hopefully top.
You've had such extraordinary innings. You know, you've had one literally on one leg. Was it after your first ODI turn that you had to spend a night in the hospital? I don't know. You had all these sorts of very interesting moments happen in your career. But which are the kind of innings? And you got to explain the hospital one to us. But which is the innings that really does stand out for you?
The drip, going on a drip after that, but that was probably just a bit of inexperience and being too nervous to drink and having 2 weeks.
And being a batsman as well, let's face it, batsmen are soft.
Yeah.
Going on a drip after having a bat, trying bowling for one session. Oh my word.
I don't know if it was the hydration part. I think it was more that I had 2 weekbicks, and my body just shut down. And things, so yeah, no, I'll take that on the chin, soft.
Better than Swagger,
yeah, 100%.
Wow, don't go there, that's just cruel.
I think probably 290 at in Perth would be up there. I think I'd struggled. I just had an operation on my testicles a month before then in Zimbabwe. So that was an eye-opener, having to come face Mitchell Johnson swinging the ball back at 145.
On the fastest wicket in the world.
And it was a flat wicket. But, it's funny that you say if it didn't bat as well as I did, we probably would have lost the test match. So I guess in add to it that, you know, the testicle and then finding out about the eye the couple of days before, I think that probably puts everything into context.
Wow, that was a lot playing in your mind. I think, you know, Swanee, if we ask a lot of players this next question, quite a few of them might say Ross Taylor. So if Ross Taylor could come back as a different athlete, doesn't even have to be a cricketer, it could be a sportsman, sportswoman, who would you come back as?
Any sport?
Any sport. Any gender. Any it could sport. Be anyone. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably of the generation. I love Michael Jordan. We had lockdown and Netflix docos on him came out. I think, he was an ultra competitive guy. I don't know if I liked him more or less.
Wasn't
after
he
the.
Just?
He was pretty ruthless, wanting to be the best. But I think pure athleticism, the way he redefined the game and was loved all over the world. I think I would say Michael Jordan.
You know what I loved about that documentary? Scottie Pippen's voice. I wanted to narrate my life in the field. I just go out and play my basketball every day. He was unbelievable in it.
But he's a pundit.
I tell
now,
you who I think. If Ross Taylor came back, I think he'd be Michael Campbell, the golfer from New Zealand, because I swear you never see those two in the same room.
Gee, it's, I got to, when I met Vaughnie at IPL, he kept calling me Lewis Hamilton. So, and then, nah, I get Tiger Woods a lot. I don't know. I still don't see any of them, to be fair.
So, what is this about you and golf? I hear you're not, you don't have an inclination to it. You're forced into it. What's the scene there?
I just brought a house over the road from a golf course in Hamilton. So I feel like I have to. But,
are you any good at it?
Because of, I've got a hand eye. I'm okay. I get the more
trust
the better.
Me, I've seen the way he hits a cricket ball. He'll hit a golf ball miles. That's how it works.
Yeah, I've never brought my clubs and the boys hassle me because the last time I played with them, I was going round and taking the plastic off as I was getting up to the ball. if that gives you a little, I've got all the gear, but I'm not very good. Out here at the AGS Bowl, just behind there's a golf course. I thought, well, why not give it a go? And spend a bit of time. I couldn't think of worse things to doing than being able to play golf during quarantine.
That's amazing. Ross, when so much of your life has been cricket and you've given so much to the game and, you know, have taken some back, what else do we need to know about Ross Taylor? What else makes you the person that you are today, if not cricket?
I think, you know, this pretty open book. I love the game of cricket. You're gonna miss it when we finish up, but I'm excited for the next chapter and spending more time with the family and things, and getting into this wine. I think we've stored it away enough. It's aged well, so I think it's time to sample a few more and have some family and friends, and swan in yourself when you come over. There's plenty here to not have one. I'm sure we can have a couple.
Ross, thank you so much for that, for joining us. Looking forward to the coming years, what you bring to the game, and all the best for that.
Thank you very much for having me.
Brilliant, Ross. Good luck as well, mate. Go well.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Don't run him out. Don't run the skipper out.
If that happens, oh no.
No, it won't happen. It won't happen.
I'm just standing on my bat. I'll just stay on my bat.
But all the best for the World Test Championship final. We're all really looking forward to that.
Should be good. Thank you.
So, Swanee, Ross, the Boss Taylor, absolutely iconic, from the country of New Zealand, the kind of player that he is, but just, I never get over just how down-to-earth people like him are, for all that he's achieved.
Absolutely. I told you he was a top bloke. And let's just say to whoever's booking our guests, they're having an absolute stormer, because Ross is another one in the high pantheon of superstars we've had on. And that was brilliant. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, because I thought that was brilliant. He's very honest, very down-to-earth. He's as humble as he is nice. And I honestly, that story about when his hero's walking around the ground and he's trying to impress him and being written off as a dirty slogger, to come back from that and end up with the career he's had, brilliant. Well done, Ross Taylor.
And go past Martin Crowe's record as well. I mean, that's a brilliant full circle moment if you think about it. I just keep coming back to that word longevity, because you've done it as well, Swanee, when you played cricket for as long as you have, and we're speaking to him about still playing the game that he loves. You can see the passion is still there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I wish I could have had his longevity. I got to 34 and my arm fell off, more or less. So I would have given anything to be able to keep playing the game at his age and at his standard. He's just an impressive athlete, an impressive bloke, an impressive player, but not a golfer. Can you believe that? A cricket player who doesn't like golf? Unheard of.
It is unheard of. Everyone loves golf. You're a bit of a golfer yourself, right?
Yes, of course I am. Love it.
Dancer, golfer, cricket commentator, television host.
Stop it.
I happen to be a test cricketer. We just keep lining them up, racking them up. No, but it was a great episode. Swanee, thanks so much for joining us. And to speak to Ross Taylor and learn so much from him. I mean, we're all just such fans of what he's achieved and what he will continue to achieve. Looking forward to that World Test Championship final. And here on the Players Lounge podcast, of course, you can subscribe to us. Make sure that you listen to all our shows. They will be online. And make sure that you enjoy these sort of conversations, because Swanee will be here to entertain you every week with insight.
See you next time.
Bye, guys.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.